This is Generation Swap. While the world talks about a generation gap,
we talk about generational connection. Our guests, we call them swap mates, discuss goals, passions, and values, helping each other figure out life.
Keep listening for more. Hello and welcome. I'm Gary Eberle, Professor Emeritus of English at Aquinas College, and I'm your host today for this podcast featuring swap mates Kate Day Shermer and Jesse Gomez. Generation Swap is an intergenerational learning program at Aquinas College in which we pair traditional-aged Aquinas College students and students from the college's Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, or OLLI. OLLI students are aged 55 and older, with an average age of 73, and the younger students are ages 20 to 22. This year, we've been exploring how relationships can develop between and across generations. Each month, all of our swap mates participants would meet as a larger group to discuss general topics of interest, and then each set of partners would also meet at least once between these group meetings to talk about or do anything they pleased. We hope to learn some things in the process about communication, relationships, and especially about relationships between the generations. So today we will hear from Kate Day Shermer and Jesse Gomez. And if you wouldn't mind, start by telling us a little bit about yourselves, including your ages and what you're currently doing with your life a little bit.
I am a retired elementary teacher. I am 73 and three quarters years old, and I have plenty of time to volunteer and give back and swim and spend time with my family and read, and looking forward to spring and planting some beautiful flowers outside. And
okay. And Jesse?
Mm-hmm. Well, my name is Jessica, but I like to go by Jesse. I'm from Downers Grove, Illinois, and I'm a non-traditional college student, so that means that I'm older than 22.
Okay.
I like to read a lot. I like to just learn new things in life and just continue growing as an individual and as a woman.
Good. So we'll come back to that in a moment, but you have non-traditional is a good word. You know, in some ways, Kate is too, since we call our OLLI students, mm-hmm. and you as well. So you probably had a pause between high school and starting a four-year college. Is that right?
Correct. I waited 1 year, and then a lot of things happened in my life. I had a very terrible car accident that procrastinated me to finish my college years. So I had to do a lot of months of therapy. I was out at Mary Freebed for maybe 7 to 8 months.
Wow.
And then I had to relearn a lot of things. I had to relearn how to live, basically. I was diagnosed with a severe concussion. I had a memory loss, and then I have a disc in my spine that got, it's not aligned. So it's been a long journey. There's a lot of things that I can't do anymore that I used to be able to do. But it's also taught me a lot of important things as to having a lot of patience and enjoying life in a new way and kind of just seeing who I can be, becoming a better version of myself.
Okay. So one of the things we've been talking about this year in our large group meetings is, you know, resiliency, work-life balance. I think mostly our older participants have been able to talk about those curveballs life throws us and how to recover from those. Let's go back to our beginning last fall. So this has been a 9-month experiment, and obviously, you did not know each other's stories when you first met. So what, you were matched by the TRIO program and by the leaders from OLLI. And what were your first impressions of each other before you knew your stories?
I assumed my match would be a younger student. I thought she would be maybe 19 or 20. So it was a surprise to have someone that was older. But then it worked out because I don't know if Ollie or you knew that I went back to college here and that I was a non-traditional student. I didn't come back till I was in my 40s. So that made a little more sense to match us because I had lived quite a bit of life. I was married. I had children. I lived out of town. I commuted, and Aquinas was one of the colleges that was welcoming to people my age that wanted to go back and finish. So that was a good match.
Well, it turned out, yes, I don't know that we knew all of that about you two, but it does make an interesting parallel.
Yes.
Did you have a chance to talk about that, about life paths? And
we did, yes. And I sent her a photograph recently of myself at Aquinas graduation when I got my teaching degree with my husband, my ex-husband now, and my two children, who at the time were 10 and 14. And I looked totally different. And she asked me, like, how old were you? And I was in my 40s, and she's only known me, you know, as this older woman who's 73. So that was kind of fun to share that with her.
Okay, and fair enough. And and Jesse, what was your first impression before you knew much about Kate?
Well, from the first moment, I knew that it was going to be a shock to her, as it is to many of the students here at AQ. I was very honest, and I'm always very honest when I told Kate my age. So I'm 31.
Okay.
It's a big shocker for most.
Well, I should tell you that when I started teaching at Aquinas back in the 1980s, which was a while ago, the average age of our students was about 31, 35.
Oh, wow.
Because we had so many students like Kate with us, and you would not have been odd at all, age-wise.
Yeah.
And so, and I will also say, as somebody of average age for Ollie, that 31 to me is young.
Yes, and definitely.
And as Kate's story says, it's never too late to start. And yet she doesn't seem to be too shocked, or seem to have been too shocked, were you?
No. I mean, I like to think of myself as younger than my age. Okay. And I taught elementary for almost 20 years, and I enjoy being with children and, well, people of any age. And I'm active, and I don't feel like I portray what my grandmothers looked like and what they did. And the times are so different.
Mm-hmm.
So, so we've had fun.
So you both, in a way, defied some of the stereotypes we might have about age, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
And when we say college student, we think of a certain image of 18 to 22 years old. Neither of you fit that image.
No, not
at all. So what reflections would you have on this lifelong learning business that we're engaged with in Ollie, where our students are 55 and older, nobody younger, so you're too young for that program.
Yes.
But you're also a little different from the rest of the cohort, the undergraduate cohort that's here right now. So what are your reflections on learning, lifelong learning?
Well, I think for me personally, being a non-traditional college student and living here on campus has been a little difficult for me just because of the age difference and some negative comments that I've received. But I've always tried to look at the positive side of everything. I'm not married. I don't have kids. So I was like, why not finish school? Just because I had a vehicle accident, I shouldn't deprive myself from getting an education, a degree, and becoming a better version of myself. It can get kind of lonely, just because of the whole age difference. Like, oh, I don't want to be friends with her, or because of some type of rumor that has been circulating, you know, here on campus can kind of prevent me from having friendships or maintaining even friendships. And the few friends that I do have, you know, have been probably the most greatest friends that I've had here at AQ. They've taught me a lot, and like I'm pretty sure they've learned a lot from me as well. And it just helps me to kind of learn from different generations as well. Yes, I'm a millennial, you know, the ones that show up to interviews but don't really follow through, right? And
well, not all, but obviously, you know, I mean, you should, as a person who's kind of going a non-traditional path, be careful about generalizing other people, too.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm.
Every generation's got its slackers and it's got its doers, and I think we find each other across time and across generations. That's part of the experiment that we're involved in here. What values did you share?
One of my things in life is to, I feel like I went about things backwards, that I did get, I dropped out of college back in 1970, and I got married and I had children, and loved being a mother and things, but I felt like I did things backwards, and I wanted to let young women know, you know, that was a hard way to do things. Yes, I completed everything. I did become a teacher. I did get my teaching degree. And if something had happened to my husband while we were still married, I could have provided for my children. But it's a little easier to, not that college is easy, but it makes a little more sense to get that degree and put off getting married and having children until maybe all that's accomplished, your degree is accomplished.
Well, even in 1970, there were still more restricted pathways for women.
For women, too. Teaching was there, and nursing, and secretarial, and receptionists, but there weren't as many opportunities. True.
What grade level did you teach?
I taught fourth grade for 20 years.
20.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth is the ideal. They know enough.
See, I agree. Most of them know how to read, and they still like the teacher.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a good fit. Uh-huh.
And Jesse, you come into this from a couple of different perspectives then, and I admire your attitude of saying, well, I'm not going to let a little thing like a major automobile accident stop me. And sure enough, you find your challenges and your hurdles, and you seem to be getting over them. But you also have put yourself in a couple of awkward situations, living on a campus with a bunch of 18 to 22-year-olds who have different life experience from you, and simply not as much life experience as you. And you seem to be addressing those too. So how can we generalize from our experience this year on intergenerational learning and learn to break out of what we call these age silos, where you only talk to someone your own age? You're all in these little spaces that are segregated by age. Mm-hmm. What would you two recommend after your experience this year?
I believe we can learn from everybody. And I learned from my students when I was teaching, and they were like 8, 9, 10, 11. And I enjoy being with people older than myself and learning from them. And I have sons who are in their 40s. And I was just telling our engineer here, I rely on them for technology information, you know, and movie reviews, and just that people everyone has their own story, and I like to get to know that and learn from them, and hopefully they're learning from me, and that we can share our experiences.
How about you, Jesse? What have we learned about intergenerational communication and pleasures and difficulties of all that?
I think one thing that I would say is creating a safe space for any non-traditional college student. Sometimes it can feel like, you know, I was hiding at moments, or it just felt like I was being pushed away from having like friendships. And just kind of creating that safe space kind of just gives me, or it can give anyone, a space to kind of open up more in a more personal and intimate way where you can kind of get to know the person and the reason why as to someone came back to college at a older age. And also just it gives more opportunities to kind of be more part of the AQ community here on campus and just kind of being more involved as well.
What conditions have to exist before we feel safe enough to begin to reveal? We talked about intimacy early on last fall and how people present to us and they're kind of either blanks or walls or something, and you gradually get to know the third dimension of those people that you see. Now, what has to exist in order for that to happen? How did you two, who have a lot in common, but I would say superficially not, then how did you two bridge that gap, that transition?
I
hope you felt safe with each other.
Yeah, I mean, she was very open and honest with me. We went for coffee a number of times, mm-hmm. just over in Gaslight Village, the Bee Cafe.
Oh, yeah.
I like to frequent them. I'd prefer to give them my money than Starbucks. And we would just, you know, I'd buy her something to drink and we would just relax and talk and share. And that was very enjoyable. We did other things, but that was a way to learn about each other. Instead of sitting in a movie and not being able to talk.
Well, yeah. So yeah. Listening,
yes.
Conversing, mm-hmm. Not assuming.
Yeah.
Being open, other
right.
things.
Yeah.
I think what really helped out a little bit too was communication and being open and always being honest about, you know, where our story started, you know, where I come from. Yes, there were moments where it was like very difficult. But there is, someone told me, sometimes you just got to do it. And I think that's like the best advice that I've been given. Sometimes you just have to do it. And I think going out for coffees helped out a lot too. And I think it helps me to kind of understand who Kate was in a way. And just having that moment is kind of very important. Just because I felt like I wasn't having many interaction with like any of my friends at that moment.
Yeah, so we need a listener, a sympathetic listener. We need, I think a very important thing you said was honesty, so that you learn you don't have to be afraid that if you say this to this person that she's going to go somewhere and tell somebody or distort it or something else, right? So it's a level of trust that has to be built both ways in a relationship. And you're right, it's complex and difficult and fragile. But here we are at the end of 9 months or so, and we've learned some things, I think, I hope. And you took the chance to, I mean, on both of your parts, to try this program, this experiment. I hope it was more or less successful for you. I think it sounds as though you had good outcomes, as we say.
Yes, I mean, I feel at this time in my life, it's my turn to give back. Uh-huh. And I do some other volunteering and people say, are you getting paid? And I'm like, no, this is what I want to do. And I've, you know, people have helped me. I've been mentored in the past and it's my time to give back.
And sometimes you never know.
Right, right.
You know, you're giving back, but the person you're giving to somewhere down the road is going to give back also what you have given them. But you have to sort of take it as an act of faith, I think, that that's going to happen.
Well, I have stayed in touch with a few of my former students. And
have you?
Which has been really nice. And one is going into teaching and let me know. And that was just
from
wonderful.
Fourth grade?
Yes.
Okay, that's
yes.
a long time.
Yes, it is. But I'm thrilled for her. And I know I was a good teacher, but to question it also.
So, Jesse, it's natural for us at the older end of the spectrum here to talk about what we have done. I think it's more natural for a student to talk about what she will do. Where are you headed with all this?
So I'm graduating this year with a Spanish major, Spanish degree. And I also want to continue going to school, so I want to get my master's for education. I'm still looking to see where, either here or at Grand Valley, I'm not sure, but I still want to continue growing and
pursue. Teach secondary or yes. primary or
I would love to teach middle school just because I love middle school. Yeah,
there are lots of Spanish programs in the middle and high school levels, and that's a good thing, right?
That yes.
We are learning to be bilingual, I hope a lot of us. Well, good luck, and you're graduating soon, right?
Yeah, okay. May 10th.
May 10th, but who's counting,
okay.
right?
Okay.
Great.
Well, any final thoughts here before we wrap up this morning?
I guess just thank you. With great appreciation, thank you for this opportunity. And I've got to learn a lot, not only with just being here as a student, but also with the TRIO program. It's helped out a lot.
Great. Well, that's what we hope to do when this happens. Yeah. How about you, Kate?
Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah, we've done things, celebrated her birthday, went to the beach when she was very sick. I played like Claire Barton or whatever, and I brought all sorts of stuff delivered to her dorm to help her feel better with my mask, you know. And
mom stuff.
Okay. And a play we went to, and we've just, you know, tried to do things together. But it's hard. She has a job or two jobs, and you know, I'm the one with the free time. A lot to juggle.
We hope it will get better with the work-life balance as life goes along. But, you know, as we tried to learn this year, we're in charge of that to a certain extent. And so I wish you both continued success and continued friendship, continued openness as we learn to talk to each other across generations. So thank you both for being part of Generation Swap.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
It was a good experience. Thanks.
Generation Swap is a production of the Aquinas College Advantage Center. You can find our show wherever you get your podcasts or at generationswap.com. Our career and connections expert is Dr. Dana Hebriard. Our producer is John Griffin. I'm Cindy Camp, Generation Swap creator. Thank you for spending time with us today. We're looking forward to swapping stories with you again soon.